Epilogue.
There are outliers that people see.
Joan Silk is a researcher at the School of Human Evolution and Social Change at Arizona State University. She has studied gender extensively, but not in humans, in primates.
I watched a group of bonnet macaques for a very long time, and I knew a male who had never been very high-ranking.
He was smaller than the other males and less aggressive. He lived at the Davis Primate Center in California, part of a community of bonnet macaques that were studied by researchers like Silk. He didn't have a name.
He had a number. So in this population, the animals had been numbered, and his number was number 24.
And though he wasn't high-ranking among his primate peers, the humans were in love with him.
He was such a sweetie. He had big brown eyes. He was really cute. And he was very sweet.
Silk says that male bonnet macaques are already much friendlier and less aggressive than males of some other primates. Although it is common for males in most primate species to use violence as a way to achieve social dominance, it's not the only model. And in some species, such as bonobos, it's the females that actually run the show and dole out physical punishment. But even within species, there are those who rebel against gender expectations, like number 24.
He just loved little babies. I mean, you know, we thought he was sweet because he wasn't aggressive and didn't go around, you know, bossing other animals around. But that's our very anthropomorphic value system, that it's sweeter to, you know, to hug infants or juveniles than to chase them around.
Think about, say, 10,000 years ago. Humans may not have been as sympathetic to number 24. It has not been common for most of human history for males to take an interest in child rearing. And if it is in our biology for males to be more aggressive, if it is a default setting for males to commit 80% of violent crime in a society, if it is a hardwired fact that boys will not sit in a classroom, patiently listen to a teacher, and do their homework, at least not to the extent that girls will, then boys are in trouble in today's economy. But if there's another factor at play, then there's another path.
I mean, the thing is that here we are, modern humans, and we know, even if we have strong biological predispositions, the question is, there are two things. One is, how much do men and women overlap? So how much overlap is there in traits amongst males and females? And then, what role does culture have in shifting our expectations and ideas about appropriate behavior for each gender?
The truth is, our culture has already shifted. Expectations of what it means to be a man have changed. But they haven't changed for everyone. And the boys who grow up under the old expectations are the boys most likely to trail the girls in school, most likely to become another crime statistic. You've been listening to State of Opportunity from Michigan Radio. This documentary was informed by the Public Insight Network. The State of Opportunity team includes Jennifer Guerra, Sarah Alvarez, Kimberly Springer, Gabrielle Emanuel, and Alex Wilson. Vincent Duffy was our editor. Tamar Charney is the executive producer of State of Opportunity. This program is a production of Michigan Radio, a broadcasting service of the University of Michigan. I'm Dustin Dwyer.
It's good to be a man these days.
Little boy, be a man.
Just be a man about it.
It takes more than words for you to be a man.
It must be swift as the coursing river, with all the force of a great typhoon,
be a man.
With all the strength of a raging fire, mysterious as the dark side of the moon.
Support for State of Opportunity comes from the W.K. Kellogg Foundation, a partner with communities where children come first.